I don't need scrapers anymore. So here's what I do. Right? And I've done this all winter long. I did it this morning. It's freaking brilliant. I wake up 7 a.m. First thing I do is I go into my car. I turn it on. I pump up the heat. I pump up the defrosters. And I leave. And I forget about it. I come back an hour and a half later to take my kids to school.
Why do you leave your car running for an hour and a
half? That's right. For an hour and a half. I come back. Not only is the car toasty, everything has been melted. Right. Clear as day. I don't need a scraper.
Bro, snowblower.
You didn't invent that. That's first of all. Everybody warms their car to get all the snow off the glass and all that.
For an hour and a half, though, sure.
But here's the problem.
Yeah.
All you need is 25 minutes tops and that snow will be off.
All you need is a more modern car.
Start from the app.
Do it from the app.
So the problem with the starting of the car thing, because I do have a car in which you press the button and it's like, boop, it starts.
Yeah. Shuts off after 10 minutes.
It could shut off. I don't want it shutting off because I need to melt all of the snow and make it nice and toasty. So when you go in there with your kids, it's like, oh, this is great.
Snowblower.
So I did that this morning. And man, when I got into my car, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. So that's a tip for everybody out there. Yes. And I don't think it wastes that much gas because you're not driving. No. The car's on, but you're not hitting that gas.
You're really not wasting that much. Pumping unnecessary CO2 into the atmosphere.
But a tiny bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
It's not a lot. Yeah. Like, it's not going to cause the ozone layer to fall apart.
It's coming from a guy with an electric car, so I put nothing into the atmosphere.
That's true. You're the best with that.
Except for the recharging stations, which put a lot in the atmosphere.
That's right.
It all comes back around.
Would you want to complain about Tommy?
No, I'm saying you're not going to waste gas, but don't you waste battery? Like, your car could die.
Well, usually, Tommy, the battery continues to charge as your car's on.
But
when your battery dies in your car, it dies. Why? Because you left either something on, a light on.
That's when you don't have the motor running. So yeah. I have the car completely on as if I was driving it.
By the way, I think that's like an antiquated, like, batteries are much stronger.
You know what? I haven't had a car in 5 years, so I'm in the antiquated car.
Yeah, right. Don't give me any car advice. You don't even know how to drive.
And your cars are smarter now, so they shut off all those things.
That's right.
If you happen to leave it on.
That's right. But I'm telling you, that's the way to do it, because going out there and scraping the snow off is very 2013.
You know what I've learned to do? Instead of using that little scraper with the hand scraper, maybe it has a glove on it, protects your hand. I have a plastic shovel.
Yeah.
Like, not like a little kid shovel, like the big one to shovel your driveway.
Yes.
You just use that and it gets your whole window.
That does work
it's
too.
It's quick.
Yes.
It does it so quickly.
I saw a video, it's been going around on like social media for weeks now, of a guy who put, and I think it's fake, but whatever, it's still amazing. A guy put down like this big amount of plastic in front of their house. And then after the snow came, he lifted it up, and that's how he got all the snow off.
Snowblower.
All the snow is on this plastic that he just lifted up and pushed away.
I'm sure the plastic would break, but I do have for the windshield. Everybody has those things now where you put it down on your windshield before a snowstorm, and then you lift it, and that's how the whole thing cleans.
Oh, no, I haven't done that yet.
It's very easy.
It's a good idea. I kind of have a feeling that the snow we got today is the last one of the year, though. I think we're done.
No chance. Next week was supposed to get pounded like 3 different times.
Nah, I don't believe that.
Snow or just
cold? Snow? Looks like 3 different potential snowstorms next week alone.
3 different?
Yeah, like Monday, Wednesday, and then Saturday.
Oh, you know what that means, guys? Sean's doing the shows from home.
You know, guys, it was very dangerous.
Actually, wait a second. We have a fake Sean. Fake Sean, why couldn't you come to work at all?
I'll tell you why. Because I was sitting there watching the Super Bowl, and after my 17,000 sandwich and buffalo chicken dipping wings, I looked outside and I said, you know what? Babylon School District, they're off today. I'm off today, too, baby. I'm watching The Price is Right.
That's going to be the greatest coincidence. Eagles win the Super Bowl. Sean's got to wear his L. He doesn't come into work on Monday.
Snowblower.
Too much snow.
I'm going to be here, but fake Sean also alerted something I need to get off my chest on this great platform, okay?
Yeah.
I am going to have a sandwich during the Super Bowl. I ordered a 3-footer yesterday, half Italian, half American, okay?
3 feet.
Well, you know, I got 10 people coming over.
Oh, okay.
He's fat!
Here's the problem. And I had this run into this problem while called weekend. At some point, you delis, you've cheaped out on us. When I was growing up, you got the potato salad, the mac salad, the coleslaw with that hero. Now, everywhere you go, they want to charge you like an extra $50 to get the salads. Where is my free macaroni salad? I'm buying a 3-foot hero.
Yeah, for sure.
It doesn't matter. There's a major deli crisis going on. I want to put an end to it.
Everybody's doing that.
Everybody.
It used to be French fries came free with like hamburgers.
Yeah, now you got to order them extra on the side.
Now you got to order extra.
That's a real issue.
It is.
Look, you want to charge me $14.99 for a carton of eggs? I'll live with that. But I better get free mac salad with a hero.
Touche, sir. Mm. Touche. We'll get back to your calls in a second. We've talked a lot about the shocking Luka Doncic trade and how something doesn't smell right about it. We got into Myles Garrett demanding a trade. I have no reason to necessarily think this is going to happen, but I'm worried until I see Garrett Wilson come out and talk about how much he loves the Jets and how he wants to sign here long term. There's a part of me that's still worried about the Garrett Wilson whispers that we heard at the end of last year, that he didn't get along with Aaron Rodgers, that he was frustrated when he was open and Aaron wouldn't throw to him. And so this isn't based on any kind of fake reporting. This is just based on, as a Jet fan, I want the comfort of Garrett Wilson coming out saying, hey, I'm pumped about Glenn. Right. I'm so excited to be here, because I'm still worried that Garrett Wilson may be the next guy releasing a statement like Myles Garrett saying, hey, I want to win, and I can't win here.
Has he said anything social media-wise since the Aaron Glenn hire? I haven't heard anything. You usually hear those things, whether by aggregators or otherwise, or reposters. But I haven't heard anything from Garrett Wilson. But I would guess that so much of this depends on what happens with the quarterback situation. Now, we got to remember what his tenure has been like here at the Jets. It has been anything but a stable quarterback.
Right.
And even when there was a good one with Aaron Rodgers, there was inconsistencies. And we saw the stern discussions that were happening between them in training camp, and then obviously some disconnects in the regular season. But whatever the Jets have to do to allay that fear with him is probably priority number one for this offense.
Absolutely.
I know they're focused on the quarterback and everything else, but no matter what they do at quarterback, you need an elite wide receiver in the NFL.
100%.
You need one. And he is one, and he's young, and he's controllable still. You got to, I don't want to say placate to him, because nobody should get that, but make him feel as comfortable and welcome as you possibly can.
I think that he needs to trust Aaron Glenn, and hopefully he does. Now, he hasn't tweeted anything about the Aaron Glenn hire. He's also very rarely tweeted. The only thing he's tweeted about in this offseason is about TikTok.
Right.
He wrote, I know TikTok's down, but y'all follow me on Redfin. What is Redfin?
Redfin?
I have no idea. So that's the only like post.
Wasn't that like a movie thing?
Like Red Phone.
No, that was a Red One, was it? Right.
I thought it was Red Phone, wasn't it?
I don't know what Redfin is. I've never heard of it.
According to this, Redfin is like a house sale app.
Oh, no. Now you're scaring me. He's selling his house.
It's all listings, house listings. It's like a Zillow.
No, social media?
Yeah.
No, hold on.
Get the Redfin app. Tour homes without leaving yours with Redfin.
I'm very worried now, Sean.
That's what his post says.
His last tweet was on January 18th, so it was before they hired Aaron Glenn.
Yeah.
And all he wrote was, I know TikTok down, but y'all follow me on Redfin. That's all he said.
I don't know what
Redfin is. R-E-D-F-I-N is an app where you tour homes for sale.
I know there's a new social media app called Blue Sky.
Right.
But I've never heard of Redfin.
God, I thought it was an innocent tweet. Little did I know, maybe he's sending subliminal messages to us already.
Already.
I think that...
I'm out.
Yeah, I know.
Buy my house.
I want Garrett Wilson, even though Sauce had a down year, Sauce Gardner, Breece Hall. These are three really talented young players. I want them on the roster next year. And I want them on the roster next year. Like, we talk endlessly about the draft. Like, we're going to talk so much about the draft.
Mm-hmm.
The goal of the draft is to draft players as talented as Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner. So when they're on your team, the last thing I want to do is trade them.
Yeah.
Because then all you're doing is collecting more draft picks to hope that you draft a player even half as talented as the guy you traded away.
Look, you can trade star players like that, but you better have an answer, meaning another star player at the position or a plan to go get another star player at the position. And I don't know if the Jets have that right now. I mean, they're still debating what they're doing with Davante Adams. Now, he's likely to be elsewhere, but you never know. But if you lose both of them, now you're starting over with Aaron Glenn. It doesn't make any sense, especially if you move on from Aaron Rodgers.
Yep. 888-808-1019. Kevin is in Williston Park. How are you, Kevin?
Hey, how are you, Evan? How's that? I just want to say you can't let your car idle for more than 25 minutes, because even though the cooling fan's running, you have no cool air going through it, so it could overheat.
Oh, jeez.
And it's not moving, right?
It's not moving, exactly. And then what Tiki says, the batteries are newer now. They're AGM batteries as opposed to the other ones, the older ones. And the alternator charges the battery, not the battery. When a car's running, the alternators charge it. But
right.
The one thing is, don't keep your car idling, because that's why that automatic shutoff shuts it off after 10. Automatic start shuts it off after 10 minutes.
Damn it.
So it doesn't keep running like that.
This is why
you're good for 20 minutes.
All right. This is why I mention stuff on the air, because I know so little about cars. Someone could call me up and say, you're an idiot. Don't do that again. I thought it was brilliant. I mean, it was great. I got into my car this morning. It was warm.
But why does
all
it
the
take,
snow was
why
gone.
Why does it take so long?
What, to melt the snow?
Yeah.
Oh, it takes a while. It does not work in that 15-minute time interval. It doesn't. I mean, it warms the car up if that's what you're looking for, and that's the point. But in terms of getting that snow off to melt, it ain't happening in 15 minutes. That takes an hour. I'm telling you right now. Damn it. I still may do it.
Might have a potential Major League Baseball issue that is just broken.
A Major League Baseball issue?
Oh, yeah.
Issue? What does that mean?
Not a trade, but an issue.
An issue. Want to guess what the issue is before he tells us?
Geez, no.
I've done a good job of not checking my phone or the Mets text chat, so I don't know what this issue is. So I'm going to guess there's a CBA. No, because the CBA runs for two more years. Is it CBA related?
No.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right, screw it. Just tell us.
All right. Jesse Rogers of ESPN.
Yeah.
I've vetted this account. Yeah. At 4:05 p.m. Breaking. Per MLB. Umpire Pat Hoberg has been fired for sharing betting accounts with a friend who bet on baseball. Though, there is no evidence Hoberg himself bet on games or manipulated any that he worked. He also deleted messages central to MLB's investigation.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So there is an MLB umpire who's deleting messages.
So he was, what they're firing him for is sharing private information?
Not information. It says sharing betting accounts with a friend. So in other
words, betting accounts.
He and a friend had a shared betting account.
He's probably not allowed, because he's an MLB umpire, to have any kind of betting account.
Yeah.
Right. So they have found out that he has been linked through this other account that a friend had. So there's no evidence so far that he bet actual games he worked, but he deleted messages to this investigation.
Yeah, it's the thing about betting and these kinds of links is that it could be the biggest scandal in sports, especially if a major league umpire is betting on baseball games and, dare I say, games he's umpiring. But it also could be he's just gambling on football, right? It could be betting on anything. It may not necessarily be related to Major League Baseball, but so far MLB, I'm trying to remember if anything's come out over the last few years. They've been pretty clean on this. Obviously, basketball's had some issues. Even last week with the Terry Rozier report, how he's being investigated by the feds. So we've had the NFL. Obviously, NFL players have been suspended for betting on football games. We saw that with, what's his name, the wide receiver, Calvin Ridley.
Right.
Baseball is, like, I think the first time we've heard anything in the last couple of years since the popular craze of legalized gambling.
Right. Now, he was previously suspended earlier in 2024, June 14th. He was suspended pending an investigation of violations of the league gambling rules.
Oh, really?
And now what Sean is saying is that he has been fired. Now,
was that public news back in June? Because I don't remember. It may have been, and we just forgot
it. It's on his wiki page, so I'm assuming this is true. But
gotcha.
It's also in the World Series he called a perfect game, because he got every ball and strike correct in the game. So it's not as if he was throwing it. He calls it like it is. I mean, that's a tick in his favor, I guess. I'm sure that there'll be some sort of appeal to this, Sean. Like, I don't know the protocol. Like, this has rarely happened with an umpire being relieved of duties. But it follows an investigation that started way back last summer. So,
yes. And there's a guy, David Payne Purdom, who covers gambling for ESPN. He has, like, slightly more details on this. Do you want me just to read the straight paragraph on it? Okay. The disciplinary action was taken due to Hoberg's failure to uphold the integrity of the game by sharing the sports betting accounts with a professional poker player and friend who bet on baseball and whom Hoberg should have known was betting on baseball. Due to Hoberg's intentional deletion of messages central to MLB's investigation of his conduct, which is essentially why he's been fired, and Hoberg adamantly denied betting on baseball directly or indirectly through his friend.
It's
indirectly would be he's giving his friend and intel or info.
Right. The deleting of messages is kind of like they always say, cover up's worse than the crime.
Yep.
I mean, look at Watergate.
Yeah, but you know,
that's what's concerning. Okay, well, why is he deleting messages?
Right. And this is, you almost feel like he had to, because it gives him deniability, even if there was something incriminating in it. Now, there's no criminal charge here. So it's not like they can subpoena his friend's messages. That's who I'm assuming he was talking to, but this is an internal issue. The Major League Baseball reserves the right. So,
would you agree that, especially with robo-umps coming, and they are, they're actually going to test out the challenge system in spring training on balls and strikes. Would you agree, because I really believe this, about officials and umpiring when you compare all the sports, baseball would be the most difficult to ever fix or manipulate based on officiating or umpiring. And the reason I say that is, especially with the new robo-ump rules that we may have down the road.
Yeah, I hear
you. A strike's a strike, a ball's a ball. You can see it. Holding is not holding.
Right. What else can you... What else can you...
Safe and out. He's either safe or he's out.
Yeah.
Like...
And now all of that is reviewable.
Right.
And it's likely to be... reviewable more quickly in the future.
And our eyes can tell us the story. In football, our eyes can't tell us anything. And I'll give you a great example. That whole controversy from 2 weeks ago on the first down with Josh Allen.
Soon to be alleviated as the NFL has decided they're going to maybe try
using tracking system.
Electronic tracking of the
football. Which they should.
Absolutely.
But we all saw the play and had a different opinion on it. Mm-hmm. Same thing with holding or roughing the passer. Like, there's such flip a coin on it, if you want to call it or not. While most of the time in baseball, a strike's a strike and a ball is a ball, especially right. with robo-umps. So, obviously, you don't want any kind of shenanigans and you don't want any kind of betting involving baseball around umpires. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like, the worst fear to me, it's worse in basketball and football and even hockey than it is baseball. I just think it's tougher to manipulate.
I think you're 100% right because there's no subjectivity in these calls anymore. It's all out, safe, ball or strike.
Right.
Like, what else are they doing?
And I'll tell you the other thing. The other thing is, in basketball, you get a star in foul trouble, game's changed. You can't really do that in baseball unless you're ejecting somebody. Unless you just make up that Bryce Harper said something horrible to you, or a pitcher throws a shredded bat at a Hall of Fame catcher, and you're like, oh, to get him out of the game. That could change the entire game. Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. A lot on the table. If you've missed any of it, you can rewind on the Odyssey app, including how weird the Luka trade was. Not just from a basketball standpoint, from a, boy, this doesn't feel legit standpoint. Let's go to Ray in Brooklyn. How are you, Ray?
Afternoon, guys. Hey, Evan, listen. I'm going to preface by saying this. Despite how I'm going to start the call, I implore you to embrace debate and conversation. So, I preface by saying that because I'm going to get even with you. The other day, you wrongfully called me a Tom Brady asterisk when I'm a Giants fan. So I'm going to say you're a Luka and Pat Mahomes asterisk, but I'm going to get to Luka in a second.
Nice. Nice.
All right. But so check this out. But first, just to show how objective I am, I cannot stand OG Anunoby. He better play, and I don't feel sorry for him, even though you do, because the guy was threatening to sign elsewhere with Philly and somebody else if we didn't give him every penny. He cries about his role in the offense. He's never healthy, and he makes twice as much money as, Jalen Brunson and nearly three times as Mikal Bridges.
Right.
So I don't feel bad for him. He better get his ass back on the court. So that's number one. Number two, with Luka, you guys are grossly overrating him, and I'm going to give you the numbers. Look, the guy is below average free throw shooter in his career, 74. The league average is 79. He's the below average 3-point shooter. 37 for the league, 34 for him. He's way above average. He's a turnover machine. And obviously you guys know about the leadership,
right,
the lack of professionalism, conditioning, and everything like that. Yeah,
But Ray, doesn't he have that certain, I don't know, that it? Right? You know he's going to make the plays in moments.
Well, it's the international factor, too, with him. The NBA is marketing him, and overrating him because they want to be global. And
forget
I
about,
that,
but forget about, but right. I'm not the NBA. Tiki's not the NBA. I'm going to debate you. Last year, he averaged 33-9-9. He almost averaged a triple-double. He won a scoring title. So I get you brought up the deficiencies in his game. He's slightly below average as a free-throw shooter. Okay. That's fine. Yep. He's not an elite-level three-point shooter, though maybe he becomes that. He's only 25 years old and gets better and better.
Yep.
Fine. And he sucks defensively and doesn't give you enough effort. I agree with that. But let's not ignore that. The guy's averaging, or at least last year averaged, near triple-double numbers while scoring 30 a game. So let's not act like he's some bum off the street. I don't care what country he's from. I'm not the NBA. I'm not promoting him because he's international. And quite frankly, I don't even like Luka. He's a pain in the ass. All he does is complain to the officials. He's a crybaby. So am I a fan of Luka Doncic? Not really. I'm calling it like it is. He's a top five player in the league. That's how I view him. Is he the best player in the league? Probably not. If I had to sit here and rank them as of right now, I'd probably go Joker 1. I'd go SGA maybe right. 2. Giannis is still there.
Definitely there.
And he's
I mean, you Tatum. How can you not have Jason Tatum there?
Sure. But he also led a team to an NBA Finals a year ago. So this isn't about overrating him or putting him on a higher pedestal. It's being honest about what he is. He's one of the best players in the sport, and he got traded in the middle of the night when his general manager didn't call in on any other team because he was afraid, oh, Luka's agent's going to do something. I think he's going to force his way somewhere. Give me a break.
I think Ray can be also partly right because there is a frustration with Luka, even as a, from a star standpoint, because he doesn't feel like he's available all the time or committed to being great all the time. Now, he's almost naturally that.
He is
naturally a great player.
But wait a second. In terms of being available, and I use this as a frame of reference, the NBA's got a rule that if you play in 65 games or less, you do not qualify for awards.
Right.
Anthony Davis has only qualified, based on that, 5 times in his NBA career. Mm-hmm. Luka has already qualified 6 times for that.
Right.
So, yes, this season he's dealing with a calf issue and he's missed half the season. I get it. He hasn't played since Christmas. But in general, he has been mostly available throughout his career. What and year, certainly more available than the guy he was traded for.
What is this, year 7 for him?
7th year, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's a tremendous player. And it's just, it's not about how good is he. It's about the fact that the Mavericks wouldn't speak to any other team when they sent him to L.A. of all places.
Well, just to defend the Mavericks, perhaps they just wanted to get it done. Like they knew. Because
that's a smart way to do business. I just want to get it done. Why are you trading a 25-year-old generational player?
I'm just being the devil's advocate. We need to get it done. I can trust Rob Pelinka because I know him, and even Rob Pelinka was surprised by this, apparently, according to the reports. And he saw this opportunity, and he jumped at it. And so maybe the Dallas Mavericks didn't want to deal with Luka's agent or the machinations of having to go through this team, this team, this team, this team, this team. Let's evaluate this and go through this and look at this guy. And they knew who they wanted. All right, you're going to give me Anthony Davis? We'll take Anthony Davis. You'll take Luka. Everything else, we'll figure out. Let's go. We're good. You're good. Let's go. Deal done.
Mm.
'Cause that's how it feels like it happened.
Yeah.
And I think more of this is on Dallas knowing they had a problem and their relationship with Luka, and the only way to alleviate it was to move off of him.
Let's go to Matt in Staten Island. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you today?
What's up, man?
Good, what's up?
All right, so I want to go back to the Myles Garrett thing, and I think the one team that really could go out and get him are the Chicago Bears, and I'm going to tell you why.
Yes.
They don't need a quarterback. I want you to just go through this with me real quick.
Yep, you're right.
Number one,
they don't need a quarterback.
So we got the quarterback.
All right.
Number two, we know that to win football games, you need to have good lines.
Yep.
The Bears are picking number 10, and this is a heavy draft class for offensive linemen.
Yep.
If they get Myles Garrett, right, you put him on the Bears' defensive line. Plus, the Bears have shown aggressiveness with going out, getting Ben Johnson, signing Eric Bieniemy, Dennis Allen as their coordinator, as their running back coach.
Right.
The only thing, so now what they can do, supposedly, their assistant GM, Ian Cunningham, might be going to another team to sign as a GM, which the Bears would get a third-round draft pick for, I believe.
Right, because he's a minority.
If that's the case, they could get more draft capital, send, let's just say, this year's second-round pick number, I think it's 37 or 39 overall,
yep.
This year's third-round pick, and then maybe 2 picks next year, and you could even throw in Tyson Bagent, the backup quarterback.
Right. I don't know if he's valuable enough, but I hear what you're saying. But
well, listen, I wouldn't discredit Bagent. He was the number, I think he's the all-time leading passer in NCAA Division II.
No, he definitely
he's got a strong arm, but when he filled in for field, he played well. Maybe he catch lightning in a bottle.
Yeah,
what do you think the Bears are getting, Garrett?
I mean, it's interesting. And Bagent, I love the kid. I did a couple of games with him as the quarterback. The only thing with Tyson Bagent, and I don't know how important football actually is. And he's really good
really?
At it. I mean, he said it to us. Like
he
literally.
Said, like, I don't know how important football
is. No, he's like, football's not the only thing in my life. And I'm like, okay. Huh. You're getting a chance to start for the Bears right now.
Wow.
And it's not the most important thing in your life, but whatever. To each his own. It is what it is. But, I mean, that's neither here nor there. The Cleveland Browns, if they trade Myles Garrett, are going to have to get a ton back for him. Because the only way it makes sense to trade a generational all-time great edge rusher is to be able to load yourself with other potential opportunities to be great at something else.
Right. You got to get loaded.
And if you don't do that, then it's not worth it.
Yeah, and, you know, we mentioned earlier, do they trade him? Or do the Cleveland Browns say, no, it's great that you requested a trade. We're not trading you.
Yeah.
One of the negatives of waiting on this, and obviously you can get ugly, which is not ideal, but the other thing is if you wait past the draft, so now it's June, July, it's August, it's training camp, the picks you're acquiring, all of them, are complete unknowns in terms of where they are.
Yeah.
If you make a trade before the draft, and let's say the New England Patriots say, hey, we have more cap space than anybody else, we feel we have our quarterback, let's go get Myles Garrett, they could offer you the fourth pick in the draft.
Yep.
You know where that is.
Yep.
Not all first-round picks are created equal. There's a difference between 4 and 25. So one of the appeals of your Cleveland on making the deal soon is to know where you're going. And I throw the Patriots out there because they got the most cap space in the NFL. They've got the fourth pick in the draft. Now, maybe if Cleveland agrees to a deal, they're going to want a ton of picks. Maybe they're going to want two number ones. Maybe they're going to want a number three next year. Yeah. I don't know what the heck they're going to want. But number four overall is not too bad.
Yeah. But Patriots, if they're going to trade with the Patriots, you know who I want? Joe Milton. I'm serious.
He's in love.
Give me Joe. Dude is big. He got a cannon. He's smart. He's athletic. Hey, talk about underdrafted player. Because, you know, look, he only played one game, but he looked damn good.
You know what sucks, though, about Joe Milton? If the Patriots, because I assume the Patriots are going to hold on to him, is assuming Drake May stays healthy and is good, we're never going to know about him.
Yeah.
Like, he may be one of those guys that's just held back for a few years because he doesn't get the opportunity.
Well, I mean, he'll be held back for, it can only be four, right? Because
Eventually he can get to free agency.
They're not going to pay him in free agency.
Right, right.
So it'll be 4 years, but, I mean, what, is he going to be 28 by then, 27?
He could become, and obviously he'd be more successful. He could become kind of like the Matt Flynn thing.
Well, I mean, you give the Patriots credit because they did the Washington thing. You draft two quarterbacks in one draft, Drake May and then Joe Milton later, just like they did with RG3 and Kirk Cousins. And you never know when you're going to need a backup quarterback that's developed behind your guy. It's actually smart. It's like the philosophy of drafting an offensive lineman every single year, even if you don't need an offensive lineman. Because at some point, you got to develop an offensive lineman when someone gets hurt.
What do you think Sean Morash is most obsessed with in life, if you had to guess?
The Giants quarterback situation?
Giants quarterback situation?
I don't know. Wait, hold on. Jonathan Quick did have his 400th win.
You think he's most obsessed with Jonathan Quick? I mean, like of all time. Like of all the things Sean Morash
Giants is obsessed situation.
With. You think Giants, because it happens, you know, ever since Eli retired. When we come back, I'm going
to
tell you.
I was just trying to give a shout out to Jonathan Quick.
No, I understand.
That was a good job.
First American to get 400 career wins, right?
Yes.
Isn't that kind of surprising? We haven't had an American goalie win 400 games.
Ryan Miller would have been the other big one.
What did he end up getting?
I don't know, but that was the other big American goalie.
I don't know. I'm surprised. When I heard that yesterday, because I actually watched a lot of hockey last night. The Islanders showed some fight. They ended up losing to the Panthers down in Sunrise. The Rangers had a good victory. I was like into the hockey yesterday. The Islanders started a goalie I'd never heard of. And I was like, man, I've been that out of it. And then I realized it's a kid making his NHL debut. So I was like, oh, okay, I feel a little bit better. And he gave up a goal 30 seconds in. But when I heard that stat, I was surprised. No, Sean Morash is obsessed with something that may stun you. And I'll reveal who that is, and I have the proof on his unhealthy obsession about one of America's greatest icons. Plus, your phone calls at 888-808-1019. If we're having a contest, is it a dress or is it not a dress?
It's okay to show up nude.
That thing that was worn by Kanye West's wife is not a dress. No. She was naked, like you said. She was naked. She was wearing, I guess, some kind of plastic, but it was 1,000% see-through, so you saw everything. And I'm like, that's naked. Like, she should be arrested for lewdness. Now, I'm not calling the police on her. I'm just merely saying, like, come on, can we have some common sense here? I know we've lost a lot of she was naked.
Well, I think
how is she not naked?
Apparently. Where was it at in California?
The new Clippers arena.
Yeah, so apparently in California, the only time you can be arrested for nudity or public lewdness is if the people who you're exposing yourself to are offended.
So someone technically has to come. Now, let me ask you
this. Has to be offended.
What if someone at home.
Or reasonably offended.
What if someone at home calls up 911 and says, I'm watching this. I'm offended.
No one's offended by
it. I'm on social. Tommy, I mean, geez, of course someone is.
Did they
Howard Stern in the 80s? Like, old grannies would call up all the time. Grandmas and grandpas would say, I'm offended.
Did they show it on TV?
I don't think they showed it on TV.
Because I didn't see it on TV.
If you see it anywhere, does that count? Which is my question. Because, of course, there's somebody to complain.
Well, most times when you see it now, it's going to be blurred.
Oh, Twitter wasn't blurring anything.
Or pixelated.
But it wasn't blur. So does it count if someone called up from Butte, Montana and say, I'm offended?
And they were on Twitter?
Yes.
No, because that's Twitter.
So that makes it. But wait a second. I'm pointing out the only way you can get in trouble for public lewdness is if someone complains. What if someone complains from another location?
I don't even think it's complained. I think I read this. It was like, unless they are reasonably offended.
Or something offended.
Like that. I can't remember what it was. That's an interesting get around.
I am not offended. It's more, we cannot call that a dress.
No.
Like that, it's insulting. It was literally, for anyone who hasn't seen it, don't worry. I mean, if you want to look for it, go ahead. She's naked. Like, just because something is technically covering your body doesn't take away from the nakedness. Mm-hmm. So we're not debating this, right? We all agree she was naked?
Yes. No. Okay. She's not naked.
No.
She's wearing a see-through outfit. That's technically that's not naked.
Yeah. But you can't actually see the outfit. Like,
we're being semantical now.
Yeah. She's naked.
And remember, in Seinfeld, there's good and bad naked. This would be good naked.
I'm not judging it. Obviously, you're a horn dog. I know you love it. I'm just saying, in general, she was naked. Like, yes. We can't call that a dress.
Yes, it was not. It was a not their dress.
The other thing that I noticed from the Grammys, again, without watching it, was it reminded me that Sean Morash has this insane, unhealthy obsession with hating Beyonce.
I don't hate Beyonce.
Why do you hate Beyonce?
I hate the love affair
first
of Beyonce,
of all,
and I hate that she became the star from Destiny's Child and ruined that group in the breakup.
You don't get to defend yourself until I prove without a shadow of a doubt to Tiki Barber that you hate Beyonce.
Sure.
Number one, last night he tweeted, and this was fine. I'll read what he said,
did
but
you
it
love
sparked
Destiny's
my brain.
Child that much?
Dude, Destiny's Child was my favorite group besides the Backstreet Boys growing up.
Wow.
Oh, that's why. You have a boy band obsession.
Here's my error.
I get it. Okay, go ahead.
So the tweet from last night was, Beyonce is insanely talented. Her transition to country music was insane and the music was good.
Mm-hmm.
But giving her album, the Country Album of the Year Award, is basically a joke and an insult to the awards.
Why is that a joke?
This isn't a comeback Player of the Year Award. What are we doing?
It's not the Album of the Year. It's not the Country Album of the Year.
What was the Country Album of the Year?
I would give you two. I thought Post Malone's Country Album, way more hits off it.
Yeah, I don't know if I know a song.
Okay.
Even without trying, I know Beyonce's.
And who I personally, if I was in the Academy, which I'm not, maybe one day, Lainey Wilson's Whirlwind Album was incredible. I mean, hit after hit.
By the way, I don't think there was anything wrong with that tweet necessarily. He gave a strong opinion that she shouldn't have been the Country Album of the Year, but it sparked my brain because I kind of knew the Islanders were going to lose. It was 6-3 at the time. And I'm like, all right, I kind of have this feeling Sean hates Beyonce. And so I searched Beyonce in his Twitter feed. Yeah. I'd like to read some to you. February 7th, 2016.
2016.
Couldn't
8 years ago, 9 years ago.
Couldn't hear a word there because the mic sucked and Beyonce got fat. Possibly the worst halftime show ever.
Was
February 12th.
Was she pregnant?
February, was she?
You know what?
Did you fat shame her while she was pregnant?
At the time, I wouldn't have known that, but now I have to think.
February 12th, 2017. My annual Beyonce is the most overrated artist celebrity of all time tweet. October 5th, 2014, Carrie Underwood is hotter than Beyonce. Hate to break it to you. January 26th, 2014. This is actually a compliment. Beyonce actually looks good for once. The tush push. Usually highly overrated, but tonight, she's not. All right? Number one. August 12th, 2013, Carrie Underwood kicking off the CMA Awards right now. I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. She's way hotter than Beyonce.
Why are you comparing Carrie?
So February 8th, 2015. Miranda Lambert is better than Beyonce all 7 days of the week. November 23rd, he's at it again. Carrie Underwood is hotter than Beyonce, Nicki Minaj, Katy Perry, etc. Don't hate. February 10th, 2013. Miranda Lambert is better than Beyonce. So he repurposed that 2 years earlier.
Just a different artist.
This is maybe the worst one. May 6, 2016. Not sure what is more intolerable. Not sure what's more intolerable today. The traffic into New York City or the overplaying of the awful new Beyonce song.
What song was that?
I don't know.
February 3rd, 2013. Tom Petty running down the dream better than Beyonce's Halo. I mean, this doesn't end. You hate her. Oh, and God. I'm not even done. Like, there's 35 so, more. I can't read that one. I'm going to just, you know what?
In the past show I worked
you
on.
You may want to delete one from 2013.
There was a...
One more. January 31st. Never understood the drooling over Beyonce. I can probably name 50 women celebrities more attractive. February 1st. Yes, I'm still saying it. Beyonce is overrated. I don't know if this is negative or not. February 3rd, Beyonce just intercepted a pass from Colin Kaepernick. I don't know about that one.
What?
Oh, boy.
That was the Super Bowl.
What are you talking about?
It was the middle of the Super Bowl.
I know, but what the hell does that even mean?
That was the blackout Super Bowl?
February 12, 2017. Is it okay to admit somebody's performance stunk? You on Beyonce's payroll now? Jeez. Mm. Well, you hate Beyonce.
So when
I'm done now. Now
okay.
You can go.
Yeah, explain
on the
yourself.
Previous show I was on, there was, I would say, DA for a long time, who I used to work with, was in the Beehive. Loved Beyonce. Would overrate her. I thought...
Oh, you were counteracting?
I was definitely counteracting. Also, excuse? I was pissed that Destiny's Child broke up. I thought Kelly Rowland got screwed. She ended up all right. But then this whole world, like, you know, we have the Swifties, started flocking. You had this Beehive. And I'm not going to lie, I like the attention I got from the Beehive every time I would knock her down. It's kind of like my Saquon stuff now, so I would lean into it. But ultimately, yes, I do find her work very overrated. Who is she to be Queen Bee? And you know what the sad part is now after last night?
Right.
I enjoyed her country album. I enjoyed the hit song. I enjoyed her on Netflix Christmas Day. Here's the problem. You're not the country album of the year. Mm. Just because you're Beyonce and you do an insane transition doesn't automatically gift you the album of the year. I thought that was a joke. Well, and I want to know, did Jay-Z pay anybody to make sure she got taken care of
there? Well, isn't making the transition and having a hit album, doesn't that kind of justify being album of the year?
Here's where I would have found
it. Because it's all subjective. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, your listenership is different than your, whatever you want to call it. I was going to say, whatever the ear equivalent of taste buds are, right?
You're,
different
you're right.
than somebody else's, aren't they?
Yes, you're right. But for instance, you know who had a great year in country music?
Hey.
Shaboozy. Okay. Shaboozy wasn't even nominated for Album of the Year, and I just
have
feel-
you seen Shaboozy?
What do you mean? Have I seen him?
Have you seen him in person?
Not
you seen
yet.
Him perform?
No. I've seen him perform live on TV.
He leaves some stuff to be desired.
You don't like Shaboozy?
Wow. I think he's amazing. I think his voice is unbelievable. His album is awesome, but his performance
okay.
he just stands there.
All right, but we're not great. This isn't the VMAs. We're not great.
It's an act. Like you're it's all an act.
Look, my
there's a reason that a lot of these artists. You watched the Grammys last night.
I did.
You saw my boy Teddy Swims.
Was great.
Did you not?
He was great.
What was the most impressive thing other than his voice?
What, his look?
His outfit.
Oh, his outfit. I was going to say
it's half the tattoos. Battle, man. I'm just telling you.
All right. I could live with all that, but that's not
the
what Album of the Year is graded on.
Yes, I mean, it is. It isn't, but it is.
I just sat through a three-win giant year. Can I at least get some integrity in the Grammys?
You might be right, but it isn't. The problem is the music is subjective.
Yeah, and just because somebody's famous and they make great music, everybody kisses the ass of Taylor Swift and Beyonce. Enough. Enough.
Well, but you have no credibility on the subject.
What do you mean?
I just read 100 tweets
yes,
about how much you hate her.
Because sometimes somebody's got to take a stand. I'm not the Beehive, and I don't care who has the
ear. But I'm not in the Beehive, but everything you've said about her is wrong.
What do you mean?
She's gorgeous. She's incredibly talented. Yeah. She's made an awesome transition. She's one of the great performers of all time.
And by the way, Shaboozy doesn't exist if it's not for Beyonce.
That's right. I don't know why, but I'm just agreeing with him.
His godmother is Dolly Parton.
Shaboozy's godmother?
Is Dolly Parton.
Wow.
And Dolly Parton introduced him to Beyonce.
See?
And Beyonce had an influence on Shaboozy?
Yes.
Oh, so what are you saying now?
Was going to make a country album.
Uh-oh.
And so it's all incestual.
Yeah. So what do you got to say now? There's no Shaboozy without Beyonce.
All right. Well, thank you, Beyonce, for helping Shaboozy. My point still stands. It was a joke last night. And
it
yes,
wasn't a joke
I've been
last
anti
night.
Beyonce for a better part of my career, and I don't care who hears it.
I mean, you're just wrong. Like there's
she ruined Destiny's Child. We should have four more Bill.
Did Justin
bills right
Timberlake
now.
Ruin NSYNC?
Yes, he did.
100%.
Why? Because he left. Because he was a big star. Okay,
I hate when people do
hold
that.
On.
And you
this
know
is
what?
For
Paul
Tommy.
You can F off too.
This one's for Tommy.
It's hard It's hard to be a group. Successful for that long.
Well, and also when you want to break off and be an individual star, did Shawn Michaels ruin the Rockers?
Yes.
No, he didn't.
Of course he did.
Had a great career.
But Marty Jannetty, who I would argue is at least close talented of Shawn Michaels, did not have that
type of career. Did Bret Hart root the Hart Foundation?
Different.
Mm-hmm.
All due respect to the Anvil, I don't think Anvil was on the same level as Bret, but I do think Marty was pretty close
to
Shawn.
Okay, did Jey Uso ruin the Usos? He won the Royal Rumble this weekend.
If I was Jimmy, I'd be pissed. My cousin's the top star in the company. My wife is great. My brother just won the Rumble. What? They call me Big Jim? I'd be pissed. I'd be jealous.
Touche. Mm. I don't think you can hold it against someone who was in a group or a tag team in this case,
so I just
blossoming into a star.
I just picked the wrong spouse. Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, for your Royal Rumble predictions? Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Damn it. You screwed that one up.
Now, the thing is, I'm also in that Destiny's Child age bracket, and I do think Kelly Rowland is incredibly underrated on a million levels, and Beyonce does get a lot more credit, but Beyonce is the star of the group, and she's a superstar.
I'm in the Destiny's Child age group, too, and I liked Destiny's Child.
Yeah.
Beyonce is an incredible talent.
Yeah, she transcended
it. Went on and became a megastar.
Yes.
What's wrong with that? Why would we hold that against her? What the hell did you want her to do? Do Destiny show? You wanted Justin Timberlake to be in NSYNC for the next 25 years so Lance Bass could still have a job?
Why can't they make music forever together?
Because
why
they can't.
Do you have to be selfish?
Because eventually it becomes stale.
But how? But now Justin Timberlake's career has been longer than NSYNC.
So a lot of these guys, they don't sing well. And so it's one guy who has a great voice and everybody else accents it. And eventually, if you just keep... You never grow. One guy is starting to grow. The rest of them are dragging him down. You have to break away. That's ultimately what I think happened. Mm. It happened with a lot of boy bands. I was watching this video the other day. Which one was Nick Lachey? What boy band was
98
that?
Degrees.
So it's 98 Degrees.
Look how much I know, by the way. You guys impressed by me?
They were singing some tribute to Man in the Mirror. So it's Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I got served this on social media, but I was watching it. And then Usher comes out, and they all sound terrible. Like, just terrible, because it's so many years removed from when they were in their prime. And then Luther comes out, and it's just, like, over.
Luther Vandross?
Luther Vandross.
Gotcha.
This is before he passed away, obviously.
Gotcha.
And it just, like, and it made me, and glad we're talking about this, Sean, because certain guys or artists' voices will hold up forever, right? It's never going to wane. When they're 80 years old, they're going to have a good voice.
Teddy Swims feels like he could be that guy.
Right, exactly. Even though he sings really hard, so maybe not. But we'll see. But I feel like a lot of these boy bands, they didn't have a ton of talent. They were really good together. But eventually, you got to set out on your own to be great.
Like, you got to let them move on and become
stars.
But
have you heard, and sparingly, Kelly Rowland and Michelle Williams have great voices.
Well, then it's not always.
I actually think they have better voices than Beyonce.
But Sean. First of all,
JT wanted to create a star.
I know, but see, that's part of it.
But wait a second.
So really, you're hating Jay-Z?
I think there's part of it. Yeah.
Well, you think she became a star because she started dating and married Jay-Z? She's gonna be a star anyway.
Well, hold on. If Kelly Rowland is married to Jay-Z, who's a bigger star in her?
Beyonce.
No. I think Jay-Z wanted to create a star. That's what the industry does.
Well, but create a star by doing what?
By crafting her career.
Oh, okay.
So obviously, they were dating as well.
Sure.
Obviously, but he crafted her career.
But also, because.
That's not foreign to the industry.
No,
Ike and Tina Turner were that way.
But saying.
The abuse stuff on the side, but that's how it works.
But also, saying someone doesn't have a great voice, not to squat. Britney Spears didn't have a great voice. She was a great performer, and that's what got her to that level. Yeah. So it isn't strictly a singing competition.
Right. Like Christina Aguilera.
I agree with that.
Christina Aguilera has a better voice by far than Britney Spears, but Britney Spears is a bigger star.
100%.
It's star power.
100%.
Beyonce has star power.
Genie in a bottle.
J-Lo's a perfect example. Not a great voice.
No.
Yep.
But
great everything else.
She's a great star.
So the lesson here is stop bitching about Beyonce.
No. But I think you guys
Taylor Swift doesn't have a great voice.
I think in summation, explained why I am bitching.
Whoa.
Die out one at a time.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I think we just realized why I'm right. Because you guys are all right. This is exactly why she's a star, and I have a problem with it.
So get over
it. Because there are more talented people that are getting screwed because of Beyonce.
Get over it. But you know what? I'll give you this. Let's hear from Anthony in West Haven, who may agree with you about the award last night. What's up, Anthony?
Yeah, come on. That whole thing was crap last night. Beyonce getting a country award, and then Taylor Swift presenting her the award. They wanted to shove that in Taylor Swift's face. I'm not a Taylor Swift fan, but isn't it ironic that Taylor Swift hands her the award that she's never won before, Album of the Year?
Right.
I mean, the whole thing was a political setup, and to say that Jay-Z didn't buy her that award last night,
no
way you can convince anybody.
Yeah, but I don't think he bought the award, but I do think that there was somewhat of a reckoning that went on with this Grammys, because there's been a lot of complaints about the Grammys for many, many years. including The Weeknd. Remember The Weeknd?
Yeah.
Boycotted the Grammys?
I do, yeah.
And he was back this year.
That's right.
And so I felt like it's so not transparent, the voting and how you go about it, that they, I don't know, this felt like a get-right Grammy.
I'll tell you,
if that makes sense.
I wish I watched it. I was watching hockey last night. I was so proud of myself. Like, I was a good sports talk host, watching the Islander game, mm-hmm. watching the Ranger game, and then something happened in the Islander game that really pissed me off.
What's it?
I still can't get over. It has nothing to do with what happened on the ice. I'll tell you what it is when we come back. I promise.
Nice tease.
I agree that everybody, even if you don't care about hockey, yeah. will have the same venom I had when I good saw tease. Something during last night's Islander game.
Real quickly, what time the Islander game in?
About 8:15, 8:30?
Yeah, right around when the Ranger game ended. You know what time the Grammys ended?
No, I don't even know what started.
Midnight. So you had plenty of time to watch the Grammys.
That's a good point.
He didn't want to watch the Grammys.
Exactly. Stays up late for everything else, Tiki.
Right. I needed a good night's sleep. I had Tiki on my shoulder saying, get some sleep. I'm going to stay up till midnight to watch some Fugazi award show. You kidding me? Show me the highlights in the morning. That's all I need.
I mean, the NFL's not too different.
That's
Joe
true.
Joe Flacco won comeback player of the year.
That's right.